thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good morning. The definition for strategy, according to AI, this is the best definition. It says that it is a long-term plan or approach designed to achieve specific goals or objectives. It involves defining the overall direction of an organization or individual and outlining the steps necessary to reach that desired outcome. Now, you have heard it said that President Trump is playing 3D, 4D chess while other people are playing checkers, that he is working a strategy to do what he desires to do, and that is, as he has stated, to make America great again. And he has a lot of people that are for him and for what he wants to do, and a lot of people that are against him and against what he wants to do. And they are saying he is usurping his power. He is overrunning the banks of the executive branch and doing things that he shouldn't be doing. And so there's a lot of pushback. But as proponents of President Trump and his agenda will say, it's all a strategy. The tariffs are a strategy and that kind of thing. So to help us with this discussion is a strategist, a political strategist, my friend Rod Martin. Rod Martin is a thought leader in conservative circles, a technology entrepreneur, investor, and conservative commentator. He's founder and CEO of Martin Capital and the Martin Organization and part of the pre-IPO startup team at PayPal. He served as special counsel to the founder, Peter Thiel, previously served as policy director for former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, and Rod has a law degree from the University of Arkansas. Rod, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, my friend, and I appreciate the posts that you make on X and the Rod Martin Report. You do deep dives into the strategies, if we could use that term, of President Donald Trump and what he's trying to accomplish to make America great again. So let me ask you, Rod, just kind of a broad question. How do you think President Trump is doing on fulfilling his campaign promises?
Well, not only is he doing exactly what he said he would do, but he's tackling something that no one's tackled since the Roosevelt years. The truth is, Franklin Roosevelt created the modern administrative state. And you were just talking about how people are saying, oh, Trump is usurping his power. No, Trump is exercising his constitutional authority, which he may not delegate. His constitutional authority in Article 2, Section 1 is very plain. The executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States. It is not delegable. It is not something that can be taken away and made part of an independent agency. What would an independent agency be? Independent of Congress? Independent of the president? Independent of the voters? And that's exactly what's happened for the last 90 years. So you have all these siloed dictatorships over the environment and agricultural policy and all these different things. And the magic to this from FDR's perspective was simple. He knew anybody he filled those agencies with was going to do what he wanted because he was going to only hire Democrats. But it's those same Democrats who run those agencies, regardless of who is president, regardless of what the voters say. And as a result, you get to a degree, permanent Democrat government, which is what we've had for 90 years. Trump is taking a meat axe to it. Elections have to matter, and when you make a choice in the ballot box, that choice should be carried out as the full policy of the whole government. That's what Trump's trying to accomplish.
Rod, do you see a big difference in his approach from the 45th president of the United States versus the 47th?
Not so much a change in approach as a significant maturing of his thoughts. 4 years in Washington was always going to be a little tricky, and we talked about this during the campaign in 2016. It's one of the reasons I was, for my friend Ted Cruz, Donald Trump was an outsider, which in some ways is a really good thing, but in other ways means he doesn't know what he's getting into. And sure enough, he got to Washington. He did a tremendous amount right. His judicial appointments were mostly fantastic, certainly better than any of his predecessors. He cut 22 regulations for every one new one. I mean, absolutely staggering. He did a lot of things well, and he kept us out of war. But he didn't understand the swamp. He didn't truly understand how Washington worked. Now he does. And he had a four-year intermission in which to lay the strategy to take it apart and do so rapidly.
Yeah, it seems like most people will agree, on the conservative side anyway, that the four-year hiatus, although it seemed bad at the time, was really instrumental in him regaining the office and then able to do so much more than he would have been able to do if he had gone straight through.
Well, God is sovereign, and, you know, we know that he works all things together for the good of those who love him. So, you know, as wicked as aspects of the 2020 election were, the truth remains that that four-year breather let not just Trump, but a hand-picked team of people who were actually loyal to his vision and not insiders and moles trying to subvert what he was seeking to do. They had that 4 years to lay a plan that they wouldn't have had if they had had the immediate second term that I believe he won. And so that second term would have been much less productive than I think what we're seeing now. And that's across the entire range of issues. I would point out that the biggest gift to pro-lifers since Dobbs has been the defunding of USAID, which has done more, and by the way, more illegally, to promote abortion, population control, gender selection abortions, all kinds of terrible things throughout the world, than just about any single force. And Trump has killed all of that, and I don't think he gets anywhere near enough credit for it.
Rod, do you think that the Democrats have been surprised at how quickly Trump has been focused on dismantling all the swamp?
They're completely shocked. They've never experienced anything like it. It's very much like the bully on the playground. You know, the first guy who bops him in the nose usually changes the entire status quo from that point on, because the bully doesn't see it coming, and everything has been on a bluff. Well, you don't attack Democrats. And not only do you not attack Democrats, but much of the Republican Party, through much of your and my lifetime, has been what can only be described as controlled opposition. They know their limits. They're supposed to oppose up to a point, and that's all fine and good. But at the end of the day, they assent to the same things happening, just a little slower. And Trump just threw that playbook out. I mean, he's going after this 90-year diversion into what I would contend is an unconstitutional form of government and trying to restore the founders' vision. And they don't know what hit them.
Well, we hear a lot from his detractors about the tariffs. Boy, they hate the tariffs, and he's disrupting the stock market and, you know, putting everybody, scaring people and that kind of thing. Now, I you know, I kind of side with the people that say this is a long-term strategy. He sees the real problem as being China. I know you've written about this, Rod. How do you see it?
Well, it's multifaceted, of course. But, you know, the big overriding principle is, you know, what he has said from the beginning, America first. What does that mean? Well, in this case, it means making things fair. It's not fair that Europe charges four times the tariff on American autos that we charge on European autos. It's not fair that India charges 100% tariff on American motorcycles. It's not fair that Canada charges a 280% tariff on American dairy goods when we don't do anything of the kind. And these things have to be understood correctly. I am a free trader. I think this is how we're going to get to free trade. But the truth is, a lot of our free trade allies want you to believe that the means are the end, and they miss the fact that what we have had is not free trade. And when Canada puts a 280% tariff on American dairy goods, that doesn't mean Canada is collecting a tax on its consumers. That's hooey. No. What they're doing is preventing American farmers from selling to Canada at all. And that's really what these tariffs have done. They have opened up the American market without opening up foreign markets to American competition. And that's what Trump is trying to change. So that's the whole idea of reciprocal tariffs. And he lined this out for you at the G7 meeting in 2018 when he told all of our G7 allies, look, guys, I went to Wharton. I get the argument for free trade. That's what I want. Let's get to 0-0 tariffs. None of ours on you, none of yours on us. And they all poo-hooed it. Well, they're not poo-hooing anymore.
Well, okay, so why would anyone be against that?
Well, I think, first of all, people don't understand exactly what he's doing, and there are a certain number of people who wouldn't trust him if he told them the weather. So, you know, there's all of that. And some of our friends, particularly, are so entrenched in free trade dogma that they can't see how to actually get there. And I would point out that they've spent 40 years trying to get there and failing. So Trump is shaking things up, and he understands one thing that I think most people never have, which is that our huge trade deficit means we buy a lot more from all those other countries than they buy from us. And that means they need us more. Take Germany. 48% of its economy is exports. 48%. If they have a significant drop in exports to anywhere, they have a depression. And that's true for a lot of our trade partners. Germany's the third largest economy in the world. That is not trivial. Japan, South Korea, China, all these countries depend on exports to, guess where? The U.S. consumer market, which is 26% of the entire global economy. You can't replace it. You get rid of America. You fail to be able to sell in America, and you just go broke. Trump understands that, and he's not demanding an unfair position for the United States. He's saying, if you set your tariffs at 50%, we're going to set ours at 50%. If you set yours at zero, we're going to zero. Take your pick. You choose.
Well, that just seems very commonsensical to me. It's like, well, yeah, that's reciprocal. I can't understand why people would be balking at that other than they feel like they can't compete if it's a level playing field.
I think it's very hard for people to understand that we are the world's biggest consumer market. I think it's very hard for a lot of people to wrap their brain around the idea that the rest of the world needs us more. And you see the same thing in the debate on NATO. You know, the truth is that we did all these things deliberately in the aftermath of World War II. Europe and East Asia were flattened. We'd actually nuked Japan. You know, these places had to get back on their feet. America then was 50% of the world's economy simply because everybody else was flat on their back. And so we set up all these unfair, lopsided trade deals where we opened our markets and they didn't have to open theirs
so that their industries could grow again. And we knew we were big enough to absorb what they produced. And that's fine. And likewise with NATO, we pay 70% of the combined defense costs of the alliance. Europe has an economy that's almost as big as ours. Why isn't it 50-50?
Right.
The threats are in Europe, not in North America.
Yeah.
So we set all these things up for the Cold War, but the Cold War's over. And
yeah.
Trump's
Rod,
saying,
let me,
why are we still
let me
doing that?
Rod, let me cut in here. We're up against a break, but we're talking to Rod Martin. We're talking about the strategy of the Trump administration. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Don't go away. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to my friend Rod Martin. He has the Rod Martin Report, and Rod is a lawyer, graduate of the University of Arkansas Law School, and he has done a lot of things in his life. He's a thought leader in conservative circles, technology entrepreneur, investor, and conservative commentator, and founder and CEO of the Martin Capital and the Martin Organization. And then he is part of the pre-IPO startup team at PayPal. And Rod, they said on Grok AI that you were part of the PayPal mafia.
Yes.
What was that?
Well, that is a term that has been widely applied to the early team at PayPal, and we've got some pretty impressive folks in that roster. Obviously, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, David Sachs, Max Levchin, and a bunch of us lesser lights who tried to help make the trains run on time.
So, were you the muscle of the mafia?
Yes, I was a capo. No, it was really an amazing team. And as you know, we went from 0 to 25 million customers in 2.5 years. We remade the payments industry. And my personal favorite aspect of those early achievements are that we enabled the creation of about 2 million small businesses in that short time. So that's people having real independence for their families and hope for their futures. And I think that's essential to everything we believe. That's essential to the creation mandate. We're to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And we're supposed to do that to extend God's glory. And, you know, the curse is the source of poverty. To the degree we can push back against the curse through good works, through charity, but above all, through creating good jobs and alleviating people's suffering, which is mostly the job of the market. These things all honor our Savior, and they're essential to what we have to do.
Okay, Rod, so being a part of PayPal, did you get to know Elon personally?
Well, I was a direct report to Peter Thiel, and there was a leadership shuffle around that time. Elon was CEO briefly, and then Peter was CEO after that. So I was not working directly with Elon a lot of the time, but I did get to know him. He is an amazing human being. I want him to be saved.
I want
him to know Jesus. But he is one of the most incredible individuals in the world today, and was then. And perhaps the most extraordinary thing about Elon then was his capacity to learn from mistakes. And most people talk about that but can't do it. Elon never had anything go wrong in his career that he didn't immediately learn from and end up 10 times better than whoever was around him. So it's just, he's an extraordinary guy, and I have
just boundless hopes for his future.
Okay, so Rod, when you think about people's intelligence, I remember somebody told me one time, I was asking him, seminary professor, I said, okay, who are the people that you think are really, really smart? And his answer just has always stuck with me. He said, Jeff, people are smart in different ways. Some people are book smart. Some people are street smart. How would you describe Elon Musk in terms, obviously a genius and obviously an engineering genius without having, to my knowledge, an engineering degree? But how would you describe him in terms of his the things that he is just light years ahead of everybody else on?
He really is a once-in-a-generation mind, truly extraordinary. And the focus on engineering is correct. This is a guy who literally taught himself rocket science. oh, my gosh, that's just crazy. But at the same time, you know, this is a guy who figured out how to be a world-class CEO, possibly the leading CEO of our time. And, you know, not everybody can do that. Thomas Edison was brilliant in the laboratory, and he was a pretty good businessman. But if it hadn't been for J.P. Morgan, he'd have gone under. You know, somebody had to step in and pick up that slack. And, you know, we had guys who came out of PayPal who were better at one thing than another. Elon is that unique guy who is great at the executive function, tremendous at the creative function, and brilliant at the marketing. And ultimately, that's a point that's lost on a lot of science and engineering types. They all want to say, well, the facts will speak for themselves. Well, no, actually, nothing speaks for itself. Nothing at all. Even the gospel has to be proclaimed. People don't just inherently know that Jesus died for their sins and was raised to new life on the third day and reigns seated at the right hand of God the Father. You have to tell them. And Elon has done a brilliant job of telling his story across a range of companies that he's leading at the same time. And on top of that, taking on the battle to restore free speech, which the Democrats were openly saying they intended to eliminate, and now restructuring government in a way that's more within its constitutional bounds.
Yeah, he's an amazing person. I just marvel at all that he can accomplish. Now, he's got, obviously, he's got his detractors that hate Doge. I don't understand it, although I can understand people saying, hey, when you gut things at a rapid rate, you can gut some things that are essential, and then you have to go back and rehire, and he's had some of that. Overall, as you assess that, Rod, would you say he gets high marks, A+, or would you say he's going too fast, or how would you look at that?
It's like criticizing someone for winning the marathon on the basis that they stubbed their toe. I mean, it's just absurd. They're going in and they're finding extraordinary waste and outright fraud, nowhere so far being worse than USAID, which is, of course, America's or has been America's primary foreign aid arm. It represents a budget larger, or it did represent, a budget larger than the CIA and the State Department combined, three times the size of the CIA. And apparently it exists to sterilize native women in Peru and push abortions in Africa and push transgender ideology in India and overthrow the government of Ukraine. And this is absurd and wrong and horrifying. And when the United States Senate sought to investigate it and just impose a little bit of basic accountability, the response of the USAID staff to Senator Joni Ernst was, we're not accountable to you. We're a charitable organization. You don't have any say over us. Excuse me, you're an arm of the federal government spending 100% tax dollars. And of course, they're funneling a lot of those tax dollars to specific
Christian charities, like Catholic Charities, like World Vision, for the purpose of importing millions of illegal immigrants. And they're doing this with your tax dollars, laundering it through Christian charities. And when Elon goes in and he helps Marco Rubio and Donald Trump shut that down and move the actual legitimate foreign aid into the State Department where it has accountability, of course they're all going to scream. The guilty dog always barks. But this is a necessary process because government has been operating completely unaccountably and without especially any accountability to the voters for 90 years.
Okay, so Rod, not to get too much into conspiracy, but I mean, it seems obvious to me, there's a puppet master for all these things. So as it relates to USAID, who's really calling the shots there, or who was?
Well, I think that's a shifting thing. The thing is, you know, if you and I sit here on the phone today, we're going to conspire. We kind of have the same point of view, and we want the same things to happen in the world. So right now, you and I are conspiring to pray that Elon Musk gets saved. And he has a lot of Christian friends now who are telling him the gospel. So praise God for that. I think in most cases, these guys all just share the same point of view. And so they operate in concert less like a puppet than like a flock of birds. And that was the brilliance of the New Deal, creating all these agencies with all these supposedly independent powers, which is entirely unconstitutional, creating those things and staffing them entirely with Democrats and making sure that they legally couldn't be fired except under extraordinary circumstances, which the Trump team has done a brilliant job of coming up with, by the way, but still, they can't normally be fired. And they appoint their successors. So you have permanent Democrat government, 2-3 million federal bureaucrats making policy all day, every day, and a president and less than 5,000 political appointees are supposed to herd that anywhere? No. They just do what they said they would do to pollsters at the time Trump got inaugurated. 42% of federal employees said they intended to, quote, resist the new administration. Well, you're just saying you intend to overthrow the outcome of a free election. It is it's beyond unconstitutional. It's criminal, and it's wrong, and that's not how it's supposed to work. And you might say, well, but if Trump is successful in these things, that means that if we elect a Joe Biden, he gets to have his way with the government. Well, first, he already got to have his way with the government. But second, yes, elections have to matter. That's our system. If the people want to vote in something stupid, they have a right to have it happen. Mm-hmm. And if they want to vote in something smart or new or whatever, they have a right to see that change. And that's what Trump's trying to achieve here, an accountable executive that lives within its constitutional authority and no more than that.
All right, Rod, let me ask you this. If you were a mercenary thinker and from your law background and all, and you were hired by Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi to come up with a strategy to attack the Trump administration, what would you do, and where do you see him being weak or off, or hey, this, you know, nobody bats 1,000. So what would you see from the left's perspective on Trump?
Well, the enemy is the clock. He only has so much time in which to act, and potentially that ends at the midterms next year. So, you know, if the midterms go well, we may see even more effective action in the last 2 years. But odds are, you know, 50-50. We lose the House, lose the Senate, whatever. And if that's the case, you remember what happened in Trump's last 2 years. We, you know, he got impeached twice.
Right.
That had no effect on anything except to just gum up the works. And that is the strategy. The Democrats have to gum up the works and run out the clock and replace him with a Democrat president in 3.5 years who will reverse these things. And if Trump can be successful in blowing past that resistance, he can set the country on a course that won't be set in stone. It'll require maintenance, but that is actually more accountable to the voters, more responsive to the people, and actually free of all of this rot that we have experienced. So they know that's the fight, and that's why they're suing him at every turn. That's why they're doing all the things they're doing to just try to slow it down. If they slow it down enough, it doesn't get finished.
Okay, Rod, so with a legal mind, you have the situation with deporting illegal aliens, and the Democrats don't want that. They want to slow all that down. They want to, you know, get that all tied up in the courts. I did a little research on Grok, and I was asking how long would that take if Trump has to do that, and they said it would take somewhere around 26 years, and it would cost about as much as $200 billion to do that. Trump wants to just mass deport people, which I think is what people voted for, did we not?
We did, but, you know, I would have to argue with Grok slightly. I just wrote a deep dive on this at rodmartin.org that we're giving away. So I hope all your listeners will go to rodmartin.org and check out our deep dive on Trump's immigration policies. It give you all the tools you need to understand this issue. But the truth is there are only 700 immigration judges in the United States. They process just under 500,000 cases a year, and that includes everything, not just deportation. So at the rate we're talking about, with 20 million illegal aliens potentially, you could be talking about 40 or 50 years to process all those through the courts. And it's absurd. This is an area that people have just lost their minds about. They certainly didn't complain about due process when 20 million people came here illegally.
Right.
And due process has always been held to be a sliding scale by the courts. There's never been a time where we didn't have that understanding. Due process doesn't mean a prosecution and evidentiary hearings and a trial and a jury and an appeals process.
Right.
That's true for criminals, but immigration is civil. If you're here and you're not supposed to be here, you get removed.
Right.
That's the law. And not only that, but the Supreme Court has consistently upheld since the 19th century.
Rod, hold that thought. We're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Rod Martin. We'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my friend Rod Martin. And we're talking about current events, what's going on in our world, and basically the strategy that is being used by Donald Trump on the right and then by the Democrats on the left. And in this segment, typically we open the phone line, so we're going to do that, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question for Rod, please give us a call. We'd love to get you on with him. Okay, Rod, so I want to ask you this. It seems to me that Trump he is a great strategist, and he set things up to where, you know, the Democrats hate him. The people on the left just hate him. I mean, Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. And if he says that water is good, it's good to drink water for your health, they'd be against it. I mean, they're just going to be against anything that he says or does or wants to accomplish. So you have some loser issues as far as elections go. Biological men and women's sports, They've kind of chosen that hill, the Democrats chosen that hill to die on. that is a, from a political strategy point of view, that's a loser. How do they, what do they do with that? Are they just saddled with that?
Their strategy no longer depends on winning elections legitimately. That's what 20 million illegal aliens is about. It's about remaking the electorate. And you saw in 2024, very plainly what their strategy is. Their strategy is to shut down free speech. Now, in Great Britain, we see the same thing. They elected a socialist government last summer and immediately released 5,000 violent criminals from the prison to imprison grandmothers who post memes the government doesn't like. They are currently jailing 20 people a day in England right now for what they consider inappropriate text messages. I mean, this is just absurd. The CEO of Telegram flies to France and gets arrested because they want his algorithm. One British official threatened to jail Elon Musk, and that provoked an outroar, and so he was required to take it back. But that's what they want to do, and that's what the Democrats want to do here. And you know very well the kind of draconian anti-free speech, anti-religious liberty laws that have been passed in Canada and Australia and New Zealand. The entire Anglosphere has been teetering on the brink of tyranny now for about 5 years, and the Democrats were very, very plain last year that's what they meant to do. So if you shut off free speech and you shut off debate and government co-opts all the social media platforms and all the traditional media platforms in a way that the truth can never be discussed, much less get out, then you don't need to win an election fair. You can just herd people like sheep. That is their strategy. It is corrupt to the core, and we're really fighting for the soul of America. Is there going to be an independent, free republic or not? And I assure you, they will keep the forms of the republic if they succeed in this, exactly like the Roman Empire did. Augustus never called himself emperor. We call him emperor. Augustus was just the first citizen, and they kept the Senate, and they kept all those things. It's just that everybody did exactly what Augustus said, and that's how it would be here, just as the forms were kept in Germany. Hitler never claimed to be a dictator. Hitler claimed to be the president, and Putin claims to be the president, and Xi claims to be the president, and for that matter, Nicolas Maduro claims to be the president. They all do this. They all pretend they're free, but they aren't. And we must not go down that path.
Yeah, it's that's a scary deal. Now, there are those, you know, that, oh, you guys are totally wrong. You're just so in the tank for Trump, you can't see straight. Rod, I mean, you're a free thinker. You don't agree with everything Trump does, right?
Well, it isn't about Trump, and Trump's term limited. Now, he's been messing with them, talking about running for a third term. Oh, my gosh, it has them chasing their tail. They don't grasp that this is a guy who has written whole books about making his opponents chase their tails. I mean, this is just classic Art of the Deal stuff. He wrote that book in 1987. Why did they not read it? And this is a pretty common human characteristic, not just Democrats, not even just rhinos, but humans generally pick somebody they don't like and decide that they must necessarily always be wrong and stupid and foolish and incompetent. That's not what you're dealing with here. You know, and you've heard a lot of people in the media go on about, oh, he's not a real billionaire. He's not really this. He's not really that. No, he actually is. And he's actually one of the most successful entertainers and promoters in American history. And that's an objective fact. That's not an opinion. And all the Democrats would have told you that in 2015 until he came down the escalator. So this was just an obvious truth that everyone agreed on,
right,
until he announced a political opinion that disagreed with the intermedia, and all of a sudden he's the devil and he's an idiot and he's broke and he's this and he, no, he's brilliant, and he's making them chase their tails so that they're distracted from what he's really doing.
Right, and which is, he's a great strategist as it relates to that. Well, they're saying the same thing, Rod, now about Elon Musk, although it's hard to get that to stick, that he's, AOC said he's a billionaire con man. I don't see con men taking ships to space and rescuing astronauts.
This is a guy who launched almost 90% of all tonnage that went into space last year for the entire Earth. I mean, this is just extraordinary. When he started, you know, pouring money into things that explode in midair, everybody said he was a nutball. But no, he was smart because he understood that if you increase the reliability and reduce the cost of anything, people will demand more of it. So we're launching an insanely greater amount of stuff into space now than we ever have before, and we're doing it cheaper than it's ever been done. And it's because Elon, A, designed it, but B, was successful in marketing it to people who didn't want to buy from him. They wanted to buy from Boeing and Lockheed because buying from Boeing and Lockheed is a safe choice, and nobody ever got fired for picking them. And, you know, we've always done it that way, and it's a simple cost-plus contract, and what's this guy doing innovating in pricing structure? But eventually he just overwhelmed it because what he had was so good. And that's just SpaceX. Forget Starlink. Forget X. Forget XAI. Forget Tesla, which is by and large the world's largest car maker. Who invents a car company from scratch and makes it the world's largest in less than two decades? No, he is not a con man. That's absurd.
Right. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, guys. Sometimes I call in these faith shows, and I might predicate the question with simple facts. I'm just going to ask the question straight up. Why has Trump not arrested Hillary Clinton? Why is Fauci free? Why does China still have world trade status? Why have we not shut that down over COVID? This it's like a holocaust. And I don't see the swamp getting drained. The Federal Reserve charter has already expired. Why is that still running? Is Trump really going to drain the swamp? I don't want to know how he's going to do it. I just want to know, is he going to drain the swamp?
Okay. Very good.
He's going to do everything in his power. I mean, where we are, it's only April 22nd. He got inaugurated on January 20th. He didn't have most of his team confirmed until about halfway through that 90 days. So, you know, this is a work in progress, but I would point out that he's gotten more done in 92 days than any other president in American history, including FDR. So, you know, what we're doing with China, and Jeff brought that up earlier, and I didn't get to it. China is the outlier. We are absolutely committed to treating China as a geopolitical enemy, and for the good reasons that Donald Trump is willing to say, but normal Republican politicians never are. China is a country that routinely threatens to drop nuclear bombs on American cities. This is not our friend, and no amount of happy talk is going to make them our friend. This is a brutal dictatorial regime that unleashed a bioweapon on the world, that is committing genocide against the Uyghurs even as we speak, employing slave labor to make our iPhones, and they're evil. And it's time we called them evil, and it's time we dealt with them. And that is a lot of what Trump is doing right now. I think the trade policy will serve to isolate China in a significant way. We see the decoupling of our economies happening right now, and we're going to see a lot of that stays overseas move to places like Vietnam, which has already offered us a 0-0 trade deal, mm-hmm. and a lot of it's going to come home. And you've already seen trillions of dollars of new investment come into the United States or be pledged to do so. So, you know,
are you going to address everything all at once? Well, nobody's done a better job of that than Donald Trump, actually.
Right.
But you can't actually address everything all at once. So as far as prosecutions, I don't know. The statute of limitations may have run on some of Hillary's stuff by this late date, but a lot of these heads are going to roll. And my guess is Pam Bondi and Kash Patel and Dan Bongino are doing everything in their power to build ironclad, airtight cases so that when they go to a federal court with these charges, they win. And
yeah.
The last thing in the world we need is for these guys to be put on trial and get off.
Yeah, that's for sure. Rod, how do you see, you know, when people describe the battle between the U.S. and China as a game of chicken between Trump and Xi, you know, who's going to blink first, who's going to veer off? And I think I heard, it might have been Megyn Kelly saying, you know, she's not one to back off. So how do you see this playing out?
Well, he's in a box because, you know, from a face perspective, he really can't back off. And he has built his position on being the leader who stands up to America. So he's got that problem. But he's got a bigger problem, which is the Chinese economy is in free fall. The currency is devaluing much more rapidly than Beijing would prefer. And they are an export-driven economy. Their consumer, their domestic consumption rate is the lowest in the industrialized world. The average is like 64-66% of domestic production is consumed by domestic citizens. In China, that's 37. They don't have any way to grow it. And because of the one-child policy, the brutal one-child policy, which is finally ended, but the damage is done, they have many too few working-age citizens to support the rising elderly. In development economics, we call that getting old before you get rich. So China's not going to make it into the top tier. China is going to fall back. Their population numbers have potential to crater by half to even 75%, so that America would actually be a larger country by population by the end of the century, and there's really no way to turn it around. So Xi has an export-driven economy with a domestic situation that's in free fall, a real estate bubble that makes 2008 look like a walk in the park, and everything's going wrong. He will hold out as long as he can, but Donald Trump doesn't blink.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Rod, we are about out of time, but tell our listeners how they can connect with you.
Well, we'd love everybody to come to rodmartin.org. Rodmartin.org, we do deep analysis on geopolitical issues every single day, which is a logical extension of our work at Martin Capital. And we also, and it's very accessible for regular people and designed from a Christian worldview. And also, you can check out my X. We've grown from 26,000 to over 200,000 followers in just 90 days on X. And you can link to that from rodmartin.org up in the top left-hand corner. So please come to rodmartin.org. We'd love to have you.
Amen. I can say, Rod, from reading your stuff, I mean, it is very, very informative. It's well-researched. You're not just shooting from the hip. You're doing your homework. So I appreciate all that you're doing, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate you, too.
All right. Well, Jerry from Texas, I'm sorry we ran out of time, and but thanks for listening, and thanks for your question. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org. And if you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And know this, God will use you as his witness. That is our job on the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.